On the line, I've got Dr. Corin Storkey. Morning, Corin.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
The first thing we should say is, what kind of doctor are you? Because people might think you're a medical doctor.
No. I'm a research doctor. So I did a PhD in medicinal chemistry. So I came from a biochemical background, but specialized my PhD and postdoc in kind of cardiometabolic and inflammatory disorders. So more the research side of the laboratory side, and
right.
Then also had a career in the pharmaceutical industry, working in the as a medical liaison for a pharmaceutical company.
I know, and we had a very interesting chat about that a few years ago, which is somewhere in our archives, but we probably haven't got time to go into that, although I know people would be very interested in your experience. But what we do want to talk about today is, of course, you have your company with your now wife, and congratulations, by the way, on the wedding, and now a child as well.
Yes, yeah, she's almost 6-7 weeks old at the moment, so we're navigating through that new journey in life, which is super rewarding and exciting. And for me, the excitement as well is learning so much about development,
yeah,
brain development, you know, conscious development, and all of those things. It's amazing to see it firsthand all come into play. So yeah,
yeah.
That's been an epic journey.
Yeah, a lot's happened since I last talked to you. But you're planning to come to Raglan. In fact, you're doing a bit of a tour around parts of the North Island soon. I'm reading the headline here, talking about ceremonial cacao, psychedelics and neuroscience. And then it says ancient Amazonian practices of modern-day mental health. So first of all, just when are you coming to Raglan?
So Raglan, we will be there on Thursday the 8th of June. So we've got a bit of time, 3 weeks away. And we're actually going to be hosted at the herbal dispensary. So Natalie from the dispensary is going to give us some space to talk. It starts at 5:30 and we've still got a couple of early bird tickets available. Prices start at $10 and $15 for the standard rate and $20 on the door. So definitely a bargain because it's 2 hours of incredible content. And it's not just a talk also, it's interactive as well. So we've got sort of some worksheets for people to go through. We're going to be putting them in teams and doing some exercises on understanding neuroplasticity. So, it's really awesome, engaging workshop.
So the concept of psychedelics as medicine and treatments it's having quite a boost at the moment. And are you finding that because you're going to a few places, as I said before, around the country? Is it proving pretty popular?
It is. And you know what's so exciting is that I don't know if you guys have heard, but the TGA in Australia, so the Therapeutic Goods Association, have actually now legalized and allowed the use of psilocybin and MDMA for the treatment of PTSD and depression as of July this year. So
is that right?
It's quite interesting. So, I mean, they've done this in the US and states like Oregon, I know, where they have these sort of clinics, specialized clinics being set up to use psychedelics for these types of, you know, patients that are really suffering from PTSD or from severe depression and they're not responding to conventional treatment. So they're now allowing this in Australia, which is the first step, I suppose, to having, you know, legalization occurring in the future, hopefully. But it's got a lot of people really excited. And I think, you know, we're, fingers crossed, hoping here in New Zealand that eventually we will follow suit.
Well, if it's happened in Australia, you tend to assume it's going to happen here.
Yeah, yeah. And I was really fascinated. Have you seen the Michael Pollan, How to Change Your Mind on Netflix, that series?
I have not, no, but I've seen other talks by him and a few others, like Paul Stamets. Is he the guy with the mushroom guy?
And
people like Joe Rogan, who's got a huge reach, has been talking to these guys. He's not afraid to talk to people that are outside the mainstream, and he's basically bringing them in a lot of ways.
Well,
yeah.
When you look at what they've been doing at, you know, John Hopkins and those kind of places around the world, it is becoming mainstream, and that's the exciting part is, you know, like for the last 50, 60 years, this kind of stuff has been banned.
Yeah.
But if you look back in the 1930s and 40s, I mean, there were thousands of studies coming out looking at the use of things like LSD and for psychiatry and the use of psychedelics. It was just when, you know, the 60s and was it Nixon was the one who started banning drugs originally and people like Timothy Leary who were encouraging people to go out and take psychedelics and drop out of the system.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, and the war on drugs began. That's when all this stopped and when all the research was kind of halted, and not only halted, but kind of hidden. So, I mean, this is something that came from science originally. This wasn't, you know, shamanism and subculture. So it's just taken 50 years to get back to where we were 50 years ago, I suppose, with the research.
Yeah, there was, I mean, they created a feeling of paranoia, and even now, I don't have much of a sense of trepidation, but just even talking about it on the radio, I know that 20 years ago, this would have produced possibly a bit of blowback, but maybe not in Raglan, but you know.
Yeah, probably not in Raglan radio, but I'm sure,
Yeah. Other places, because there was a very unscientific feeling of paranoia around it.
Hmm. Well, it was a lot of propaganda, and a lot of it was driven by, you know, government organizations and people in charge who had a fear aspect around it and the unknown aspect. But like it, yeah, it's really exciting to see. I mean, the thing that we are what I love is looking at the indigenous use of these types of plants as well, and that's really how this talk came about, because we've been working in Peru with cacao. So my wife Sally is native Peruvian, and you know, her people who come from the Andes have these temples that they've built. One of them called Chavin is Chavin de Huanta, is one of the most famous temples in all of South America. I mean, they talk about Machu Picchu, but you know, for the indigenous people of Peru, Chavin is almost more famous than this, because it was the epicenter of shamanic practice for almost 1,000 years pre-Inca. And these people were heavily using psychedelics, mainly huachuma, which is San Pedro, which contains mesculine. And they were doing it for spiritual practice, so to connect to divinity, to seek guidance from the heavens, and also for all sorts of other techniques, like navigating through what they call the three worlds, or the three realms that they believe all exist in the one moment, so being able to go back into the past and into the future. And what we now understand about these practices is that this is what we would call modern-day neuroplasticity. So I love the talk you had before, the interview before, because you were talking about changing the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is really, in essence, what these people were learning to do through using plants like Huachuma San Pedro. But cacao was really integral in this practice as well, because cacao in itself is not what I would call a psychedelic plant, but it is an entourage to psychedelics.
Okay.
So it can enhance these experiences. And they had spiritual reasons for using cacao, because cacao for them represented the tool to be able to navigate the worlds, the realms that they were entering in with psychedelics, and to guide them on that journey. So they would use it a lot in preparation and then during the psychedelic experience. But what we now know biochemically is that it was actually enhancing the activity on the dopamine receptors and on the psychedelic 5-HT2A receptor, which is one of the serotonin receptors that the psychedelics work with. So there was this entourage effect that cacao was able to give, and that's why it's been used in these kind of spiritual practices.
So can we talk for, I'm sure there's some people out there now currently scratching their head. We just introduced you as a guy with a PhD in medical science, and now you're talking about spiritual practices and realms and stuff like that. So how do you bring that together? And did you require a period of time to adjust as well to this way of doing things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, this is the beautiful thing. Like, my wife is, like I said, she's native Peruvian, and I learned a lot from her. So what I do as a scientist is I really like to look at indigenous wisdom and knowledge and use of medicinal plants and understand those traditions, and then try and see if we can make sense of it using science. So it's understanding that, you know, these plants have a long history, and like with cacao, for example, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Peru, thanks to my wife, learning about, you know, the traditional use of this plant. So we went to a a temple in northern Peru called Monte Grande, which is where cacao was first domesticated.
Yeah.
So all the world's cacao, all the chocolate in the world, it all came from this place in northern Peru. And we met with the indigenous tribes there, and we looked at how they traditionally prepare it, how they view it, and how they use it. And what's really interesting is, I mean, we always think of cacao as being chocolate.
Yeah.
And it tastes delicious, but they weren't using it for its taste. It's not a decadent drink in its traditional form. It's very bitter. They don't use any sweeteners with it. We were watching and understanding their cosmovision of what cacao means and represents. So, there was a beautiful girl from this tribe called the Awakun who was explaining that, cacao is the gift from Nukoi, the Mother Earth, or Papatūnuku, and it's a gift that enables them to nourish their spirit and open themselves up to wisdom, knowledge, to transverse into the past, to hear the voices of their ancestors, and then also go to the heavens to seek guidance from those above. And so we look at the way in which they kind of use it and then traditionally prepare it. And then what I did was we went around Peru looking at different uses. So we went to the region where they, in Chavin, where they're combining it with San Pedro. And when we were looking at the types of cacao that they were using, and then we take all this information, we take all these different varieties of cacao from, these regions where they're using it spiritually, and we take it into a laboratory, and then we start analyzing its biochemistry and looking to see if there's anything that we can identify in those unique types of cacao that we can link into these practices. And what was fascinating was the cacao that they were using with San Pedro, we found had incredibly high levels of a compound called tryptamine, and also really high levels of a compound called phenylethylamine. And tryptamine works on the same receptor as molecules like psilocybin, LSD, and mescaline. And so what we could gather was that they had created these we call ancestral varieties of cacao that were able to enhance the activation of receptors that could work to bring about neuroplastic change in the brain and work to guide some of these psychedelic experiences. So it's kind of like saying, well, let's look at how cacao has been used by the ancient people because it has a 7,500-year history. And then let's see if we can get some knowledge from them of to how cacao is actually working and how we can apply it in today's world. Because not all cacao is equal. There's massive differences between cacao from all around the world.
Okay. So, yeah, it's definitely become a big product. The chocolate industrial complex, shall we call it.
Yeah. And what's amazing is, like I said, all the world's cacao came out of Peru. And when we go there, we see such diversity in different varieties of cacao. The cacao they were using in northern Peru in this other temple actually has incredibly high levels of cannabinoids in it. So it's actually activating a lot of the cannabinoid effects in our brain, that more idea of more blissfulness and contentness. So I know in the last talk, you were talking about what is happiness.
Yeah.
And for me, happiness is effective serotonin action on the 5-HT1A receptor, but it's also the ability to enhance and activate anandamide, which is our natural cannabinoid in the brain. And when we get those two in harmony, we move from this feeling of just being happy to actually feeling full, feeling content, and being in that kind of flow state where we don't need anything. We don't want anything. In this moment here, we feel completely content. And this is what I call the perfect balance between cannabinoids and serotonin working in harmony and synergy. So this is what we were finding is, in northern Peru, in Cayenne, the cacao up there is more working on that aspect of the brain, whereas the cacao in Tarapoto in southern Peru is more working on the other at serotonin receptor, which is the neuroplastic receptor. So I don't know if I'm losing you with the science.
you're so into it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're talking to Dr. Corin Storkey from Soleno Health, going to be in town in June, you said, talking about ceremonial cacao psychedelics and neuroscience. So what? Obviously, you're going to talk about what part of it is going to be what you've just been talking about, but what other things are you going to be talking about as part of this session?
So what we're going to do is we're going to take them on a journey of, like I said, the 7,500-year history of cacao and understanding the traditional use, the cosmovision and why it was used like that, then explaining the biochemistry of it, talking about how it was used with psychedelics, and then taking people on journey into what are psychedelics and what they do in the brain. But really at the end of all of this is what we want people to get out of this is how can we use this today? You know, we can't all go to Peru and do an ayahuasca retreat or work with San Pedro with a shaman, you know. So what can we do in our own world today? And this is the beautiful thing of the cacao that we work with is perfect for daily practices to help bring about in some of this neuroplastic change. So in this workshop, we're going to introduce the concept of neuroplasticity. So the ability to bring about rapid brain change when we're feeling blocked or stuck in a negative state. And like before you were talking about, you know, happiness and when we lack happiness in our life, and you know that you were saying about values and those type of things. So it's a similar concept of like when we don't feel that happiness, how do we then change our brain? How do we get into a different state rapidly? And what we know about neuroplasticity and what we're learning is that you know, the brain tries to make our life easier by simplifying thought processes and patterns, but often it works against us and we find ourselves often stuck in negative loops where we're going through the same frustrations, the same fears, the same anxieties over and over again. And so the question is then how do we rapidly get out of those loops? And this is what, you know, cacao can be used to do, is bring about that rapid neuroplastic change into a positive state. And we know from science that when we spend 75% of our time in positive states, we thrive in our life. We have happiness, we have health, we have abundance, we have joy, we have all of these beautiful states that we crave. So we're going to give them a few tools and a little toolkit to take home and some initial practice, but we have developed a really fantastic online course, which is far more in depth. So it's really just an introduction to the concepts.
Yeah.
And if people want to take it further, then they can look at doing our online course, looking at cacao, using cacao as a daily practice to bring about better health, well-being, and those types of things.
So I'm really curious what we've got in the last few minutes, just to talk about your organization, Soleno Health, because you started with maca. You were bringing maca in. The real deal maca from Peru. And then, but it feels like you're kind of expanding a little bit now.
Yeah.
Doing some different things.
So maca was bought because that was obviously my wife's family from the Andes, and you know, her granddad was a farmer, and that's one of their sacred plants. It was interesting because we never chose to work with cacao. We were actually invited by a farmer to come and meet with him, because we were making a blend of cacao and maca with our farmer in the Andes. And we went down to meet with this farmer, and he, you know, shared his journey of cacao with us. And and it was in that experience that we were kind of called into it. Sally, my wife, she had a vision that evening, and she said this this jaguar came to her in a vision and said, "You have to go and find the origin." And it began this 4-year journey through Peru, where learning about this, more about this plant and connecting more deeply. And the culmination of this was meeting an archaeologist called Karina Olivero last year in October, and standing in the middle of this temple that they call the ceremonial cacao temple, which is in northern Peru. And it's basically where cacao began its journey through, you know, the world through domestication 7,500 years ago. And the people that we met all wanted their story to be heard and shared. And so we kind of became this conduit to share this knowledge with the West, because everyone was going crazy for cacao here, and yet no one knows where it comes from. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, well, is this cacao thing just a Western thing? Did we suddenly decide that we were going to have cacao ceremonies, or is there actually anything to this? And the answer is yes, it's got a massive long history in South America. So we really wanted to bridge that knowledge gap and actually share the ancestral knowledge of this plant. You know, what does it mean to these people? How do they use it? How do they see it? What is a cacao ceremony? Because I mean, you must have seen these things popping up everywhere, cacao ceremonies.
Well, yeah, Irma's been doing them around here, so you know Irma, so yeah.
So the question that a lot of people have is, well, where did this come from? And it's a question that we feel no one had really answered, because no one has really understood the true nature of the ceremonial history of this plant. And to do that, you have to go to its origin, and it all began in Peru.
Yeah, and so you were there. Yeah. You happened to be there.
Yeah. See, we go and you meet with these tribes who are still doing it today. And then the other thing is, we have this beautiful connection to Tabasco in Mexico, with one of our teachers is an Olmec descendant who's, we call her Salmadora. So she's a fire woman who does the fire element of cacao. And we've created these amazing immersive retreats in Peru, where we bring people, we bring our teachers from Mexico, our teachers from Peru, and we all meet in the home of cacao, where it began its journey, and give people this kind of spiritual experience of cacao in line with what they were doing in the ancient days.
I'm really curious. I'm really curious, Corin, when you first enrolled for your bachelor's degree in science those years ago, did you foresee any of this in your future?
No, never. I used to stand up in front of lecture halls of professors talking about biochemistry and things like that, and now I find myself standing up at festivals in front of hundreds of hippies talking about neuroplastic change and embodiment experiences using ceremonial cacao. So
yeah,
it's definitely an interesting journey to go on, but for me, I just love bringing science into it and understanding it and creating the therapeutic side of natural health and bringing credibility into that, because I feel like it's an industry that needs more credibility because it's so powerful.
Yeah, and the West, you need it. Help, it just helps to have that science aspect to it for people to take it seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, we were so fortunate. I was able to apply for a research grant to do this funding, and we got government funding in New Zealand because it was coming from a scientific background to research cacao. So we've developed this cacao research program where we're creating these kind of biochemical maps. We're in essence making personality charts for our cacao. And helping you to understand how this cacao is going to be therapeutic for you, and how to use it in different ways. Because like I said before, if you want to do breath work with cacao, or you want to do ecstatic dance with cacao, or you want to do meditation, you actually need to get the right cacao for that purpose. And so that's what we've sort of been developing. And the New Zealand government saw it as worthy enough to fund. So
interesting. Yeah, times are changing.
It shows that when you bring some science into it, like, people are a lot more open.
Yeah,
To learning. Yeah.
Hey, Corin, we're out of time. We're a little bit over time, but that's all good. We don't worry about that too much. But we should wrap up. Can you just remind people you're coming to town to talk about all these things? When and where? Yes. When and where?
Okay, I'll pull up the flyer again because it's just, yeah. So it's going to be at the Raglan Herbal Dispensary. So if this sort of conversation excites you, definitely grab your tickets, because we've super limited space in the building. And we've already sold, I think, a third of the tickets. So it's on the Thursday, the 8th of June, and it starts at 5:30. It's a two-hour immersive workshop. It's going to be interactive as well, so it's not just death by PowerPoint. and starting at $10. So, yeah. Oh, and bring a chair.
Oh, we've got to bring a chair, do we? Okay.
Yeah, bring a chair. If you bring a chair, you can get some free cacao.
So. Okay. That's a trade I'm happy with.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, look, thank you for your time this morning. We'll put I'll put the podcast and a link to the event on our Facebook as well for the radio station, Raglan Radio Facebook page, so people can find it there as well.
Yeah, and I see you got your ticket, Aaron. I saw that come through.
We'll see
you there too.
Yeah, I don't know if you were planning to come to Raglan. I think I might have hassled you into it, but I'm pleased.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you prompted me, hey, were you going to come to Raglan with this talk? I thought, well, we're going through Hamilton, so it's not too far out away. And I was hoping maybe I could bring my surfboard and catch a wave on the.
You never know your luck.
Oh, Raglan's pretty good surf normally, so hopefully.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Okay, Corin, thanks heaps for your time, mate.
Thanks.
Okay, see ya. All right, folks, yes, we will put the podcast, if you just got that halfway through, and the link to the tickets, but you can also look up, if you go to Celeno Health's Facebook page now, you'll be able to hook into that, Celeno Health. It was also on the notice board at one point as well, the same thing.